Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another Bite Marks special episode. And joining me today is a very special guest. It's Brandon from Brandon's Proletariat. Say hello, Brandon.
Hey, guys. My name's Brandon. I go by Brandon's Proletarian, and I have a YouTube channel that features lefty politics from the perspective of a Southerner in the United States. So I like to think that I can give a unique perspective from the front lines over here about what we deal with and how to maybe change things from the ground level, you know, get people, you know, kind of more open to lefty ideas, whether they realize that they identify with them or not.
Yeah, you make primarily a you do mostly current affairs. And to be honest, there's nothing more current than COVID in the United States at the moment. And that's really the topic of today's video, talking about the COVID situation, but also talking about the big problem that America is facing, namely the anti-vax movement. So,
absolutely.
I just want to get this out of the way, a disclaimer. We're not doctors. However, we endorse the current medical consensus around COVID-19. It is a real disease. It is actually very serious. The vaccine is safe, as far as we can tell. Take it when it becomes available to you. Wear your mask, social distance, all of that stuff. Don't try to endanger other people for the sake of your perceived loss of freedom. With that,
exactly.
Let's jump into it. So, a large part of the failure of the COVID response in the United States has been the Trump administration's refusal to engage with reality. They've done things like downplay the threat of the virus. They've hampered, you know, relief efforts. And importantly, they've encouraged the politicization of the virus into a wedge issue, right? So, like, nowadays, you see lots of people thinking that wearing a mask is not a matter of public safety, but rather one of political freedom. And as a result, COVID is rampant in the US. It is the epicenter of the world's infections right now, and basically one of the biggest sources of the world's deaths. And because of that, the country is now more than ever dependent on that COVID vaccine. But there is a problem. And that is, America also has one of the largest anti-vax populations in the world. According to a Gallup poll, more than one-third of Americans said they would not get a free FDA-approved vaccine. That's a scary number. So the question that we are here today is to talk about why is that, and, you know, maybe what can we do about it. So Brandon, you say you've got a family who are actually on the front lines of this pandemic. Right. What's your read about COVID in the United States? And of course, the answer. What do people think about COVID?
Oh, man. It runs the gamut, honestly. So to preface this for you guys that don't know, I live in Mississippi. So you could say I'm about as Southern American as it gets. And I do have a family member on the front lines, specifically my mom. She is a registered nurse, and she works at a hospital about an hour from our home in Memphis. And I live pretty much almost on the border of Mississippi and Tennessee. So I guess I get the best of both worlds, but so to speak. But anyway, so she's been working in basically the COVID ward of her hospital since they declared a national emergency for it back in March. And thank God, you know, I have someone who is very scientifically oriented to kind of give me info from the front lines, you know, and she has just been kind of, you know, she told me about, for example, months ago, dexamethasone and remdesivir, these drugs they were using on patients kind of to help them with their symptoms. And next thing you know, I started seeing news cycles break about these drugs helping people who were getting, you know, serious COVID symptoms. Well, anyway, yeah, she's kind of helped me break this news and understand it from her perspective. Thank God for her. But anyway, she, so when it comes to vaccines, you know, luckily, even though we could talk about how botched the vaccine rollout is here, but luckily she... Oh yeah, dude, that's a whole issue in itself. But she was able to get hers. I believe she got the Pfizer vaccine a couple weeks ago. And she was one of the first to get it, and I'm very, very happy, man. She's like 63, so she technically is a boomer, and she's in the I don't know how she's still working, man. She just really, this is like her calling in life, so she's a real hero. So when I see these, like, you know, chuds marching in the street complaining that they can't get a haircut and that wearing a mask, you know, hurts their face, you know, I just refer them to my mom, who's like a little old 5 foot nothing lady who's like treating, you know, your dad on the ventilator. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's these, you know, she's one of the real heroes, and not these quote unquote patriots. But anyway, I digress. Yeah, she got her first dose of the vaccine like 2 weeks ago. And I know it's only anecdotal evidence, but I can tell you she has had zero side effects from it. And no negative, you know, I guess adverse reactions. And she's due for her last shot, I think, in a week. So that should give her, I think, full immunity from my understanding.
So the
yeah, go ahead. Sorry about that, my friend.
No, it's fine. Digressions are encouraged on the Bite Marks podcast. like, one of the big things, I think, looking from the outsider perspective that I have, is that COVID has been politicized. And I have a couple of theories as to why that is, and I would love to pick your brain on it. But basically, it seems as if the Trump administration has basically tried to downplay everything about the COVID situation, including, of course, their failure to respond to it appropriately. And we can talk a little bit about that. But I'm really interested in the why. So my theory, of course, is that one of the reasons why they have tried to do this is to basically downplay the severity of their own failure. If COVID is not as serious as, you know, if it's not this big serious thing, if it's, oh, it's not that bad, guys, we crashed the economy for nothing. Although I think an economy that crashes when there's a virus is probably not a very good economy. Maybe you should change it.
maybe capitalism isn't the best way or something, you know?
if you had a car that, if you tried to break it, the engine would fall out. I feel like that's not a very good car.
yeah, it's like it breaks down the minute it needs an oil change. You know what I mean? It's ridiculous.
We don't want a highway full of wrecks. But anyway, I feel as if my take is that the Trump administration has tried to basically downplay everything and turn these things into wedge issues, firstly as a way of riling up their voter base, because who doesn't love a good wedge issue about personal freedom versus public health? But also, I think
exactly
because it helps them cover for their failures. Do you think that's accurate?
Oh, dude, I think everything you just said is 100%. If you recall, back when I think the U.S. got its first few cases of COVID, I believe the first detected was around 5. And it was a liberal hoax, you know, up until Trump finally caught it himself in October. So, and all of a sudden, yeah, it's a very serious disease now. So let me get myself rushed into the best hospital in the land on, you know, on the taxpayer's dime and get stem cells, you know, injected straight into my ass to recover. You know, that's literally like, you know, but hey, I only paid $700 in taxes last year, but hey, socialized medicine is bad, guys.
I'm not one for conspiracy theories, but I don't think they would have let Donald Trump die of COVID if they had to. And I hate to say this, if they had to like sacrifice a child or something like that to keep Donald Trump alive, I think they surely would have done it.
They had to suck out the adrenochrome or whatever, you know, like the QAnon. We could definitely get into that too.
Right. So that is actually a very good segue, because, you know, if it's one thing for the political administration of the United States to downplay the severity of COVID, to fail in their ability to treat it, to basically just bungle the whole thing, it's entirely another for someone like the president of the United States to start tweeting, there are conspiracies about COVID, that, you know, COVID is, I don't know, maybe it was a bioweapon unleashed by China, but, you know, it killed basically a lot of Chinese people, and also it also kind of crashed their economy. You know, it just feels as if conspiracism is the name of the game. And when we're talking about conspiracies, we have to acknowledge QAnon. So before we get into this, what is your experience with QAnon?
Oh man, I've had quite a few, luckily no real life debates, but I've had quite a few online run-ins with QAnon people. And you can always kind of know their QAnon just by kind of the dog whistles they throw out. And what I've kind of realized, you know, I don't want to call them debates, but it's just more like trying to talk sense into someone. But I feel like it's kind of trying to teach like a dog to meow. You know what I mean? Like you just can't do it because like everything you throw at them that's like factually based, you're like, hey man, this is why this isn't true, you know, and then link them an article, you know, from a reputable news source, you know, and they'll be like, oh, that's like the AP, you know what I mean? Or that's Reuters and that's the fake news press. Let me go pull this article from like Zero Hedge, you know, or like, so, you know, and this is the real news, you know? So it's basically talking to a wall. And so, you know, they're kind of, I think QAnon kind of blew up in the COVID era, you know, because, everyone kind of, you know, we were forced to quarantine for like, God, like a month, even though it should have been way longer. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we can talk about that as well. But I think what happened, though, so when this first hit, you know, and back in February or March, and they were like, OK, we're declaring a national emergency. You know, lots of people got fired from their jobs, but luckily they did give us some decent unemployment for those who qualified. So a lot of people got to stay home for a minute. You know what I mean? And America's already the way our brains work. A lot of Americans is we're prone to conspiracy. I don't know why. It's like we have some weird kind of brain rot that is unexplainable. And it's just a lot of people, you know, we're taught to be free thinkers and individual, you know, wolves and not sheep, even though we're following, you know, the most baseless conspiracy theories. Sorry, go ahead, Marvin.
For those of you who are lucky enough to not know what QAnon is, QAnon is a conspiracy theory based around basically the theory is that there is a secret deep state government built inside the US government that is nefariously shadow puppeting everything that you basically see. And it's a cabal of liberals who are also pedophiles. And, you know, never mind that a lot of people who are actually kind of credibly, you know, pedophiles, like Donald Trump was a friend of Epstein. Let's be real. The pedophile thing.
And Roy Moore.
let's be honest here. The pedophile thing kind of is the only bipartisan thing that really is in the American political system, you know, Bill Clinton and all of that stuff. But anyway,
true.
Is the idea that there's this shadow cabal and that Donald Trump is a secret insider agent who has somehow managed to take control of the wheels of power, and he's any day now going to blow the whole lid off this conspiracy theory and save the American people. And unfortunately, a lot of QAnoners are basically just conspiracy theorists who are also kind of a little bit Nazis. If you talk to a QAnoner long enough, they will start using anti-Semitic dog whistles. They will start, you know, referring to globalists when they mean Jews. Yep. They will start referring to, you know, Israel a lot for some reason. And it's like, you know, you mentioned that Americans are particularly predisposed to conspiracism. I, having interacted with a lot of Americans, I think the reason is because American individualism kind of supposes that you should quote-unquote think for yourself. But the education system has very little to teach people how to think critically, right? It's one thing to be skeptical. It's another thing to be critical, right? This is something that I always tell people. I know people who are conspiracy theorists. I know people who believe, well, I don't talk to them regularly because I think they're a little bit crazy, but I know people who believe terrible things, who believe in conspiracy theories. And the reason why they do that is because on the one hand, they have a deep distrust of powerful institutions, right? That's totally understandable. Mm-hmm. I have a deep distrust of powerful institutions. But on the other hand, they have no ability to critically analyze stuff. They have basically very little media training, right? They aren't trained to think about, you know, how to contextualize a piece of media. They're not really trained to think about, is this trying to suggest something that it has no evidence for? Like, for example, all of the stuff about the voter fraud, which keeps getting thrown, you know, you'd think that being all of the cases about voter fraud mostly being thrown out of court would be a good sign that maybe the accusations are baseless. But for a conspiracy theorist, the fact that the system is working against them is more proof that the system is rigged. And
exactly. It strengthens their beliefs, you know, in a weird way.
Exactly. For anti-vaxxers, right? You know, I did some research. Anti-vaxxers are nothing new to the United States, right? American rugged individualism, its obsession with capitalism, has uniquely, I think, produced a population of people who are really interested in imagining that they're the only wolf amongst all of the sheep.
yeah, I've seen a lot of memes about that too.
Exactly.
Which makes it funny.
It's phenomenal because A, most people don't actually understand that, you know, like the example, like wolves divide into alphas and betas, that was a disputed study. The author of that study, you know, said that actually that's not true. In the wild, a wolf pack is typically just a mother and a father and their children. It's not really...
Oh, yeah, that wasn't that debunked like a year later or something that it came out?
I'm fairly certain it was debunked by the actual author of the study, because that alpha-beta system only really reflects wolves that are in captivity, wolves that are, like, taken outside of their normal natural social system. But, so, you know, back in the 1900s, 1900s, you know, America was dealing with, for example, smallpox. And there were anti-vaxxers around then who were like, even though smallpox is like 30% to 40% lethal, right? It's not a, it is a way more deadly disease in many respects.
It's like it's like the death rate of Ebola almost, you know?
It's and then you had people talking about how, no, don't take the smallpox vaccine. It'll give you all of these diseases. It will give you blood poisoning. It will do this, it will do that.
It's I can only imagine the excuses they were coming up with back then. You know, they probably thought like it would, you know, they believed like, what was it like back in ancient times when they believed one of the elements in your body was like bile or something?
You're talking about the humors. Yeah, you know,
yeah, that's it. Yeah,
the medieval belief in the humors. But well, to actually put pay to this, a lot of these people were pushing the anti-vax conspiracy theory. Then were doing it for money. They were doing it for various financial incentives. You know, I'm going to be the famous doctor that's going to disagree with the medical consensus. I'm the correct one. You know, maybe you can pay me to come give a speaking tour. I will obviously stay away from any person who is sick, but you know, that person can give a speech to maybe a factory worker, you know, or to some factory workers and get them back to work. You know, these kinds of things. It's always really been. It's always really been snake oil salesmen trying to peddle snake oil. And unfortunately, the majority of the people who believe in these things, you know, and you can speak to this, you know, from the coming from the South, are actually fairly vulnerable people, people who can't afford medical treatment, right? If they get COVID, they're going to die or they're going to be seriously hurt by it. And yet they still continue to believe. And one of the things that has come up today in this current sort of situation is there's been a cross-pollination of QAnon and anti-vax, and it's produced a lethal cocktail, right? You know, I want to quote, also, you know, we can also argue that social media has contributed to this, but I'll talk about that a little bit later. But I want to quote an Instagram influencer who is one of Instagram's most popular anti-vaxxers. That's Laura Mull, you know, mother of five, of course. And, you know, she has this.
Oh, yeah.
The virus is.
They always have litters of kids.
Yeah, they. Oh, my goodness. I don't know what is up with that. But anyway, so she says the virus is engineered. The pandemic is engineered. The second wave is engineered. She's just like. And that is. It's not just that she has concerns about the vaccine, right? What she's trying to allude to is that there is somehow a secret shadow conspiracy theory to, I don't know, some people think the COVID vaccine is going to put a microchip in you. Even though everyone has a phone.
Yeah, that's my exact argument is you're probably saying that while you have like a fucking iPhone in your pocket.
If you use even remotely anything, like I ask a lot of these people, hey, do you have a VPN? You know, are you using a phone that you built yourself? None of these people even like take remote like cybersecurity protection. And, you know, they're worried about a COVID vaccine being like a shadow chip. But basically, what has happened is, from the research that I've been doing into it, the QAnon conspiracy theory is like a chimera or like a hydra. it really very easily gets into other ideas and cross-pollinates and like absorbs them in a way. You know, it's like a gelatinous cube in D&D.
Oh, yeah.
If, let's say, for example, you believe that the JFK assassination was done by the government, right? Let's say you believe that. And it wasn't just a, you know, a lone gunman, Lee Harvey Oswald, I think his name was. Then
that was it?
Yeah, and you believe that this was done by some, by a shadow organization, or I don't know, maybe the mob or whoever, and you believe a conspiracy theory about JFK. And then someone QAnon goes, okay, that totally makes sense. The deep state killed JFK for some reason, right? And that you could just like start cross-pollinating, you know, 9/11, right? A lot of people who believe in QAnon believe, you know, 9/11. Now, we as leftists can probably argue that 9/11 was manufacturing consent for a war in the Middle East. I just want to lay my cards out on the table. I don't think the government caused 9/11. I just think they started knocking over some dominoes and then really did nothing to, you know, act on that information because it would give them their casus belli. But I don't think like 9/11 was like an inside job or anything like that. I just think the government did what governments tend to do and look for a reason to invade the Middle East.
But oh yeah, that's my exact take on it as well, honestly.
Yeah, you know, it goes from QAnon is capable of basically absorbing anything. It's capable of absorbing like even flat earthers.
it's like the, what is it, that movie from the 50s, like the Blob? Oh, it just keeps growing and eats everything, you know, like just all consuming, you know, like we're just, if it fits, it's just get that shit in
it's
here.
It's just a giant amorphous blob that has like a big giant Q branded onto it. It absorbs everything, you know. I've talked to some people and it wasn't very pleasant who believe in QAnon, and if you're like, do you believe in this conspiracy theory, and they will nod along, like, yeah, sure, it makes sense, right? Because they can't commit to, of course, conspiracy theorem is jumping around, you know, they can't commit to actually explaining what they believe, because if they do that, they might, you know, revealed as, you know, like they might reveal their own contradictions. I think one of the important things about anti-vax and QAnon is really that there are real social problems in the United States. You know, when you mentioned that the lockdown happened, you know, at the beginning of the month, and the unemployment, uninsurance, like, yeah, actually, the real issue was that the government was requiring people to go into lockdown, but it wasn't also adequately providing for them, right?
Precisely. That's the crux of the issue. You know, you have, so, you know, with QAnon, these people, you know, they're already automatically kind of prone to believe, like, to them, it's like, if you pick their brain just a little bit, you know, it seems like they can't just believe that bad things happen. It's like, there always has to be some maniacal, like, devious force behind it. So when it comes to something like COVID, you know, which is a natural disaster, you know, it happened just a series of unfortunate events, like Lemony Snicket's, you know, it unfortunately it happened and we're having to deal with it, but it wasn't masterminded in some laboratory. You know what I mean? Like, but you know, them thinking that and coming up with these conspiracy theories, no matter how many mental gymnastics and hoops they have to jump through, you know, it's a way for them in their worldview to justify it. And so, so you couple that with, you know, they're already kind of on edge, you know, and then, you know, everyone basically gets shut in their homes, you know, because COVID's new. And back then we really didn't know a whole lot about it. So everyone is locked in, which I think is necessary in a lot of times, but it kind of goes with what you just said, you know, these QAnoners, you know, I feel like a lot of people who fall victim to the to its like influence are very isolated and just very people who don't have contact with the outside world. You know, there was a I don't know if you ever watch Cody Shoddy, you know, Some More News, but he did a I love it, man. And he did a really good episode of QAnon, and he did this deep dive into it where he kind of figured out that there was this best-selling book on Amazon that was just a bunch of, like, you know, copy and pasted QAnon, you know, posts across the internet.
The Q dumps, or whatever they're called.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, those things. Yeah, that's exactly right. The Q dumps, and which is just a funny term to use in general, because Trump does like to say the word dump a lot. So I guess it, especially when talking about ballots. But anyway, they basically created this giant book of just QAnon posts. And when they kind of researched who was posting it and who was behind the usernames, they were able to track a lot of them down, and they were just kind of old people in their 70s and 80s, you know, and these people were probably very isolated, you know, like their grandkids don't come and visit them anymore because they have delved into this conspiracy theory that involves, it makes them feel like they're part of something bigger. So couple these QAnon people with, you know, they've got this way of thinking before COVID even hits. And then COVID hits and everyone goes into lockdown. So everyone gets, after a while, what I call like quarantine brain. And they just start like staying on social media, the social isolation kind of like, you know, it causes mental health issues. So they start, you know, just browsing social media, and they come across like a bunch of crazy ass conspiracy theories. They go, oh, you know what, that might be what happened, you know, and one of them with the vaccines, you know, is the whole, you might remember the 5G conspiracy. Oh, yeah. Where it's like they believe, and people still believe this. I remember, God, this feels like forever ago, because this was near the beginning of the outbreak, but you know, there's a lot of people believing that COVID is legit caused by 5G towers, and so like a vaccine wouldn't work because it's radio waves. So when they hit you with the vaccine, it's just,
yeah, I'm totally with you. I think we have to look at basically other countries. A lot of other countries, when the COVID pandemic hit, they implemented, you know, just across the border, just in Canada, they implemented, you know, sort of here's like not unemployment, but kind of like a UBI in a way. You guys are just going to get money. We're going to put like a temp. We're going to just stop the rent payments. We're going to like do all of these things.
That's what should have been done here, man.
In Germany, right? Because America's unemployment has been spiking, you know, because of all the businesses are crashing. In Germany,
absolutely.
The government instituted a bailout packages for businesses, but the requirement, and they were very strict with this requirement, was that if a business was going to accept money from the government, you know, to keep operating because of COVID, they weren't allowed to fire any of their employees, and they still had to keep paying their employees, I think, at like 85% or 80% of their paycheck. So
yeah,
there are totally like you don't even have to have like socialist policies, because these are not socialist countries. Like Germany, New Zealand, they're not socialist countries. But you don't even need to have like socialist countries to like recognize that if the economy, if no one has any money because no one can spend it, you know, no one can work, it's unsafe, no one has any money to spend, everyone's poor, the economy will crash. And so the American government is basically totally corrupt from the inside and out. And it's no surprise then that a lot of people felt abandoned by the government. But strangely, not about, you know, Donald Trump in particular. Like, one of the things that I always find weird is that, especially now, you know, because Georgia went blue, they lost the Senate race.
That's very good news. Very good news. Also,
they managed to pull it, the Mad Lads. You know, I'm probably to the left of them on many issues, but you know what? I'm there to the left of Purdue and Loeffler, you know, those ghouls.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, so, you know, a lot of Americans, I feel, have a deep distrust of the government. And yet they fail to always identify, like, how this deep distrust should manifest. Like, for example, with Republicans, a lot of them are like, we're the party of small government. But they always vote for more military increases. Like, the military is the biggest institution of government there is. You know, it's the biggest employer. A lot of Americans, Republicans in particular, are upset that the government has abandoned them. And yet they don't seem to think that Donald Trump was the guy who orchestrated. He's the mob boss, you know, at the center of, he's like, I'll bust your kneecaps, you know, if you don't find votes. That kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, that literally just happened like 2 days ago.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, and you're totally right. I feel like some people are getting, you know, quarantine brain, because, of course, we're a social species. Humanity is a social species. And a lot of people are used to just in their day-to-day lives socializing. I'm a bit of an antisocial. Well, I'm a bit of an introvert, so maybe it hasn't affected me that badly. But it can definitely play with your mind and your perceptions. If you're feeling like the government has abandoned you, if you're unemployed, or maybe you're getting like a pittance, you're worried about, you're dealing with a lot of stress, it makes you more vulnerable to being exploited by these kinds of things. But the question that I want to throw to you is, like, where could America, how is America going to get out of this, right? Because anti-vaxxing is, like, how do you feel, like, yeah, because the anti-vax movement is basically going to mean that even if you get, like, according to that Gallup poll, 1 in 3 Americans would not take a free vaccine, right? 1 in 3 is not enough to build her, it's more than enough to stop you guys from building herd immunity. So, like, do you think something can be done? And if so,
man,
what would you, if you could, you know, I don't know, maybe Biden appoints you to a cabinet position or whatever, like, what do you think you could do? What could be done in America to change this? Could something like, be done?
I think so. I haven't lost hope. I'll tell you, like, this is, I think it starts from the ground up. So, for example, kind of elaborating on what you're saying about how Americans are distrusting of our government, and they have good reason to, because, you know, everyone should have a healthy skepticism.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's healthy. But the problem is, a lot of Americans are seeing the failures of our system, you know, right before their eyes. And the answer is usually right in front of them, but they're like, they're missing it somehow. You know, and our government has done so little for its people for so long, like anything that's helpful, like we're trained to think that it's a handout. Like, if you get unemployment or you get welfare, you get SNAP, you get WIC, you get any of these social programs, it's just a government handout, and you're suckling at the teat of big government. In reality, this is just your tax dollars. Yeah. This is what we do when we live in a society, man. I mean, it's so fucking simple. Like, we're what I would call, like Hassan said at one time, you know, we're cucked by our own, like, you know, system, where we're taught to not rely on the government, but at the same, while it's like bending us over the barrel. So Americans in their head, this is not all of them, because I have faith in the upcoming generation in a lot of ways, because I've seen kind of what they have to say and things, but they're taught to not rely on the government, which in a way is okay. But the thing is, it's become to them such a foreign concept for the government to give them assistance that they have no fucking clue how to process it.
Yeah.
So when we start, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I agree. My experience of Americans, a lot of Americans, is many of them are taught, and this really harkens back to capitalism sort of like as an idea, as an ideology, right? to borrow a phrase from Zizek. I can't do the accent.
No, Jack's a good man.
But I am touching my nose and sniffing. So I'm doing solid there. But
solid. That's very solid. Very solid.
There is an ideology at play, and the ideology is, like, let's be real. It's an intersection of many things. It's an intersection of, you know, the weird religious nature of America's founding, the fact that the Protestants in America who founded America were kind of like the religious outcasts for being too weird about religion, you know, Protestant work ethic, the idea that if you're a failure, then you're sinning, you know, God hates you because you're, you know, committing a sin, you know, by not working hard enough. If you work hard enough, you'll get out of it. You know, this idea that billionaires keep paying millionaires, you know, billionaires like the Koch brothers or Koch brother. Actually, there
are, the one that's left. Yeah.
Actually, did you know there are 4 Koch brothers?
Oh shit! Okay.
Yeah, there are 4 of them. I think 3 of them are billionaires. One of them is just a multimillionaire, and I think the one that the multimillionaire is gay.
They decided to leave him off the off the will, I guess, because of his sexual preference. I wouldn't be surprised, dude.
It's weird, but there are 4 Koch brothers, and the one that died. So there are actually 3 Koch brothers left, but only 2 of them were actually, like, crazy into this whole super PAC thing. But anyway, I get ahead of myself. So yeah, these people, Koch brothers, they pay people like Steven Crowder to tell people that, hey, you're bad. If, you know, government handouts, you don't need it. You're a strong person. You can do it. But the truth of the matter is, like, the reason why we build society is because helping each other is better than not, right? You know? A lot of these have this idea, this false idea, that before human society, like, civilization developed, you know, everyone was just like this weird lone wolf. No, we weren't. We were in strong communities where everyone was trying to help everyone else. You know, if you were infirm one day, you know, maybe someone else would pick up the slack for you and you would pick up the slack for them. Everyone had a role. society was very egalitarian, right? That's why people like Marx refer to the society before civilization as like a primitive form of communism, because it's a classless society, right? No one is really in charge of anything. And we help each other because helping one another is much better than trying to compete, right? If you, and like a lot of Americans, you're totally right. A lot of the money that they'd be getting back is basically their tax money. A lot of Americans.
Yeah, man, it's just money we paid into it anyway. You know, it's our money, and you know, instead of it going to the military or going to fucking corporate subsidies and welfare, you know, corporate welfare, it comes to the people like it should. You know, like that's the problem is, you know, you're talking about the Koch brothers paying Steven Crowder and fucking talking heads like him, you know, to teach this rugged individualism. Meanwhile, the Koch brothers and Jeff Bezos and Bill Gates, all the billionaire buddies, you know, they're getting bailouts and free tax cuts and fucking, you know, direct money from the government themselves because they're the corporate overlords and the job creators. You know, I think it's this kind of mentality that originated back with Reagan. You know what I mean, about trickle down economics, yep. And we should all worship the job creators because they're more important than the working class.
I read a study recently.
You know, and
oh yeah, sorry.
Man, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say I read a study recently, like a very very long, like 50-year study or something like that, like a very long meta-analysis of like trickle down economics, and the conclusion of the study was that it absolutely failed. Whenever the rich were given incentives to, you know, tax cuts, stuff like that, it didn't trickle down. Wealth only concentrated up. In fact, the researchers found the reverse was true. When you tax the wealthy, it turns out that there is actually more parity because you can tax the wealthy and spend their money on like social programs, you know, because I think ultimately I don't think American people are like different to other people, you know. Every country has brainwashing to some extent. You know, all countries, except for maybe a couple of exceptions, and even then, are capitalist, and that capitalist media has a lot of incentives going. You know, Rupert Murdoch kind of brainwashes Australians. But I think fundamentally, and maybe you can speak to this because you live in the South, but I think fundamentally, a lot of people are decent people, but they grow up in a terrible environment that inclines them to think of terrible things, you know? And Americans in particular, I think, a lot of the good values that I sometimes, you know, associate with the South, like, for example, Southern hospitality, which I don't think is made up, you know? I don't think
That's 100% real, man. I get told that a lot by people that I've met, you know, that every time they come visit my town, they're like, man, you guys are so nice. And I'm like, yeah, man, most people are really cool, you know? They're very friendly, and most people will give you they're cool with you until you give them a reason not to be. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's why I don't think they're unreachable. And it's kind of like what you said. You know, I think that like it's just how we were raised. Culturally, it's a culture. So you've got the pluses and the pros and the cons. You know, the pros are you know, we're supposed to welcome everyone, love everyone. You know. Welcoming, accommodating, but then you've got that side of it where it's like, you know, this whole American capitalist rugged individualism where it's like, you know, you don't need help from anyone, you're a lone wolf, when in reality, you know, that saying, it's, you know, it's like they teach us this philosophy growing up in school, you know, that every successful businessman did it himself, you know, he didn't have any, like this whole philosophy that every man is an island unto himself, when in reality the way the world works is, you know, I like to operate by the it takes a village, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's how things work. That's why taxes are important, you know, naturally assuming that they're going to the right place. You know, no one wants to just have it go to the wrong spot, but you know, the thing is, Americans are so accustomed, we're raised to not rely on the government. We're raised to, you know, that's why a lot of Southern people, you know, wave the fucking libertarian flag, like don't tread on me and all this kind of stuff, because they just see the government as some oppressive force that's meant to hold them down as opposed to an entity that could actually help them in times of need, you know. And that's the key difference, and it showed with like our coronavirus response. You know, and I think that's, it's because we've done so little, man. Like, I wish I could have kept up with South Africa's response, you know, a little more, but I can almost guarantee you guys are still handling it better than we are. You know, like Canada's, like you said, offering people like a UBI to stay home, you know, you said, you know, all these countries, Spain, that have so much less wealth supposedly than we do, they can afford to pay their people at least 80% of their salaries to stay home, and we're like, nope, fuck it, you got to go sacrifice yourself to your boss. Yeah. You know, so we could keep the bottom line.
Yeah, you know, Americans believe in freedom until, you know, they subordinate themselves to a tyrant in their workplaces.
Yeah, dude, that's the American way. It's like, yeah, man, you just go work for this company and eventually they'll realize your value and promote it. Yeah. Or if you don't like that, you just go start your business. And then I'm like, who has the means to do that?
Yeah, you guys, know what I mean? You guys fought a war to kick out a king, but now, like, you guys have kings, right? You know, you have.
Oh, yeah, man.
You totally have kings. Jeff Bezos is a king. He has more social dude, yeah. power. You know,
and he's worshipped.
Yeah, and you know, people like Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, Mark Zuckerberg knows more via the apparatus of Facebook than most kings could ever hope to know. You know, like they could put a spy in every household in the kingdom, and they'd still know less than Mark Zuckerberg knows about like the lives of billions of people. In terms of the COVID response for South Africa, our COVID response has kind of been, I think, maybe a little bit more of a mixed bag. Everyone wears a mask, or at least most people wear a mask.
That's
good. For the most part, in public, right? It hasn't been politicized. You don't have our politicians going like, "You gotta wear, you don't wear the mask, keep your freedom, etc., etc." But really, I think the failures of the government have been to not adequately provide enough relief. There has been some relief. They have been trying to set up, you know, like COVID grants and stuff like that, but I feel like there hasn't really been enough, and I think it's really because our government has got business relationships, and business relationships don't like it when people, you know, like, hey, we should raise taxes on corporations, because South Africa doesn't have, I think, as high corporate tax as it should, but that's maybe another issue. But yeah, you know, we've had issues. Our COVID response has been fairly okay, I think. It could have been a lot worse. The lockdowns, we've had them. We'll probably be going back into another one. A lot of our problems are because our country is very poor, right? You know, we've got large townships where people don't have the luxury of being able to social distance. They don't have the luxury of being able to afford, you know, masks or, you know, stuff like that, sanitation equipment. So there have been issues, but I think we've handled it as best as we could have to some extent. Obviously, I think we could have done more, but America is just the outlier because it's the world's richest country, right? The American COVID response is, you know, you'd expect, like, to be honest, a nation in the global south, a nation that doesn't have the resources to make those kinds of decisions, to, like, you know, for the doctor to go on the TV and, like, hey, guys, maybe limit the amount of masks that you're wearing or something like that, because we don't have literally enough masks to give everyone. And America's Trump's just going to get rid of the resource stockpile and fire the CDC experts, because
who needs them, right? it's like we haven't had a global pandemic since 1917, even though it was 1918.
I keep reminding people that the Spanish flu originated in like Kansas.
Yeah, it was from Kansas, and they still called it the Spanish flu. And now, like, they're like, it's funny, man. He called it the China virus at his rally like the other night, and I was like, no, man, this is the America virus now, bro. I mean, China, like, they're having concerts and they got water parks open and shit, even in Wuhan. And here we are, like, we're getting like 2,000 to 3,000 deaths a day. Nah, yeah, man, this is the America virus.
I think the thing that really hammers home, and this is, I think, one of the reasons why QAnon, I think, really works to swing this all the way back around to QAnon, is that, you know, when America had 9/11, I was obviously not very old. I think I might have been a kid, but I distinctly remember America was like traumatized. Americans were deeply traumatized by the experience. The approval for Bush, right, was through the roof. Everyone was ready to go to war and all of that stuff. And every day.
Patriotism, brother.
Yeah, patriotism is through the roof. People were volunteering for the army. And America has a 9/11 basically like every day now. And it's just...
Oh, yeah, man. And conservatives don't say shit about it.
It's just background noise. It's just a 9/11 is happening in America every day now. And there's no massive, like, let's everyone do our duty. Let's all wear our masks, you know, like, hoorah, super capitalism, America, you know?
Like, come on, brother. You know the CDC is lying about them numbers now. Dude, it's so stupid. Like it's so, I bring this up all the time, and it's like, it's embarrassing because we have literally like, we have all the money and we have the resources if we wanted it to fix this, dude, to change this. And our government, like I said, Americans are just so brainwashed in thinking that our government is useless and that it's not meant to do anything for its people, that it can literally get away with not doing anything for the people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's as you said, you know, the government is, a lot of Americans don't trust the government to do anything. But simultaneously, they allow the government to have control of a vast security apparatus, a vast military yep. apparatus, you know, a police apparatus, a prison industrial complex. Yeah. Like, it's a very selective blindness to, you know, because unfortunately, you know, I hate to say this, but a lot of the things that the American government tends to do is it tends to do that on, you know, minorities, Native American people, yeah. Immigrants. Women to you know, this whole Roe v. Wade situation, I feel as if any day now I'll wake up and I'll think, okay, Roe v. Wade is gonna actually be overturned.
And, oh yeah, we were worried about that with the ACB nomination. Yeah, you know what I mean? We really are. We're still worried about it.
Yeah, it's all of this destructive behavior that is ultimately, you know, the roosting of the chickens.
true
that have been, you know, developing in America for decades now, ever since Ronald Reagan, you know, because Reagan, you know, not many viewers at home will realize this, but America had labor unions until one day the air traffic controllers union were threatening a big strike. They were going to shut down air travel in the U.S. Then Reagan yep. looked at that and went, nope, we're not going to have any of that. And they set about destroying the union movement. And now if you're wondering, you know, why your job at Walmart is paying you less than $8 an hour, that's one of the reasons.
and that's like a good wage for them. No, man, dude, you're 100% right. You know, one of our biggest problems here has been the complete decimation of worker solidarity. You know, we've been propagandized as well to think that unions are bad and that they just take money from your paycheck, you know, and that you could, there literally was an ad for what, like, I think it was American Airlines or something like a year ago that literally had a picture of like a dude holding an Xbox controller. And it was like with what you save in union dues, you could get that new Xbox. It's like, say no to unions. You know, it's like, oh fuck, who needs fair wages when I can get a goddamn Xbox? I mean, like, who needs it? But like, oh. But no, dude, it's shit like that. It's so regular. And you know, you're talking about, you know, how it disproportionately affects, you know, minorities, which it does, man. And it's proved itself with COVID too, man. You know, like, our country was built on systemic racism, and you know, we still have, you know, scars of that today, you know, and it's showing with COVID, man. Like, statistically, right now, the COVID death rate, you know, we're up to what, 354,000 deaths total here. Mm-hmm. And like, and you know, the death rate for African Americans right now is 2.8 times, you know, it is for white Americans.
Like, I remember reading an article about like the nurses union. Like, the nurses union were talking about their deaths, you know, from, because nurses are on the front line, literally. And like,
yep.
Like, I think it was like over 50% of their deaths are from like nurses of color. And it's like, yeah, because there are issues that compound. I feel like this word has gotten a bad rap, but like intersectionality, like, yeah, if you're poor and you're facing racism and, you know, this, and these issues start to compound, it makes it a lot more likely that, you know, you're going to suffer. Definitely, a lot of the people who are pushing a lot of these conspiracy theories are totally insulated, like Dave Rubin. Oh my gosh, Dave Rubin. No. Dave, my brain is in in recovery mode from these high-level ideas. He pushes, and you know, to an extent, he and Joe Rogan, really, and all these other guys, the intellectual dark web types, they push these conspiracy theories, but they live in mansions, yeah. You know. They are.
Oh yeah.
They're. It's funny how so many poor Americans have been tricked into identifying with these people, these rich guys who are like, hey, don't trust those other rich guys in DC. Trust me, you're a rich guy who lives in, you know, like Texas or California or, you know, wherever. And like, yeah, I am completely, you know, you're a person that has to serve me, but you should totally trust me and not like, yeah, it's,
Oh yeah. Fucking Dave Rubin, man. Dave, you know, Bernie was like Thanos Rubin, you know what I mean? Like fucking God. Like what's sad about him is, man, half the people, like half his like peer group, like Ben Shapiro, you know, fucking who else? There's a few others, Jordan Peterson, you know, they all like disapprove of the fact that he's married to a man and that he's like, you know, that he's you know, part of the LGBTQ plus crowd, you know? And like they despise him for it, but he still like tries to suck up to them so badly and they hate him. You know what I mean? It's sad to watch, but at the same time he's like kind of just laying in the bed he made, you know?
Oh yeah, totally. I always, if I ever need a chuckle, I always go back to, you know, rest in peace, Michael Brooks. But I always go back to like,
oh man, rest in power. That was the king right there.
Yeah,
man.
He was. He would have been extreme. I think he would have been very necessary for like a lot of these political discussions right now, you know, with COVID and stuff like that. But, you know, he always did a very funny Dave Rubin impression. But it was on his show that I was like, I watched Dave Rubin tell Ben Shapiro, Ben Shapiro tell Dave Rubin to his face that, hey, I don't want to go to your, I'm not going to bake you a cake for your gay wedding or your gay, you know, anniversary. And Dave Rubin had to sit there and take it.
I know. He's just sitting there, like, smiling, like, fake smile on his face, yeah. Listening to Ben Shabib, all 5'7" of Ben Shabibo, you know, tell him that he doesn't approve of his gay relationship. Yeah, and this is the people that he simps to. You know what I mean? It's ridiculous.
It's really funny because, of course, you know, people further to the right of Ben Shapiro don't approve of the fact that he's Jewish, you know? Ben Shapiro will cry about how lots of people will send him anti-Semitic slurs or, you know, accuse him of being a traitor to America because of his support for Israel. And, you know, to be honest, Zionism is very cringe. But, like, yeah.
I agree.
It's all these different people with all these different viewpoints that have still nevertheless managed to turn very many people who under other circumstances might be more reasonable into cultists, you know, cultists spelt with a Q, because of course this all traces back to QAnon. It is a conspiracy, you know. I think you're right. I think what can happen is that the American people can be reached. I feel like, you know, honestly, I would feel better if Bernie was maybe in charge. I feel like a lot of these people, especially a lot of people in the South, maybe, they might be able to relate to Bernie in a way that they don't relate to a lot of other people. Because Bernie is like a working class dude. He talks the talk, you know. He has a history of engaging with, like, you know, Bernie was on like the trans rights movement, gay rights movement before it was even cool. He was out there, you know, back in the day, like talking about how, like, yeah, you could listen to some of his filibusters, but like, I feel like
he's Joe an OG, Biden, man.
Yeah, I feel like Joe Biden.
He's an OG.
I feel like even though Joe Biden was not my first choice and he's not anyone's first choice, I feel like he can do it. It will ultimately be up to whether or not they can actually pass effective stimulus. Because my feeling is this: if Americans can start getting some money, if the boot that is on their necks because of eviction, because of unemployment is, you know, taken off a little bit, then I feel like a lot of the traction that something like QAnon has will dissipate. Because once people, and this has been proven time and again, once people aren't in a desperate situation, they are less likely to take this whole QAnon conspiracy theory nonsense seriously, right? Because now they're like, hey, the government is actually giving us money. I don't have to worry about being evicted. I can feed my kids. I can feed myself, you know? And we can start to do something about it. And obviously, and here's maybe the final thing that we can talk about for today is, do you feel that the Republican Party has done like serious damage to themselves right now with the way that they handled COVID and the way that they've tried to delegitimize the election? What do you think in the eyes of people?
Without a doubt. And this is what's kind of been beautiful about the whole thing. It almost makes the last 4 years worth it to see Trump, like, to see Trump take down the Republicans just because of his like inability to do anything outside of himself. So it's like, for example, you know, this whole him losing number one was great. I hold on to the ideal that, you know, the reason Biden won the primary, first of all, against Trump, well, not the election, but the primary, was, you know, everyone was worried about who was the most electable. Even and Bernie. So they turned against Bernie.
Yeah,
Bernie still would have. I am willing. And Bernie, I have no doubt in my mind, would have won the general, you know, by just as much, if not more, than what Biden did. You know, but that's neither here nor there. But I'm stupidly happy to have Bernie in the Senate fighting, man. You know what I mean? Because he pushed for these 2,000 checks, you know, to get $2,000 out to the people for the stimulus, him and Ed Markey. And so what I think happened is, especially after last night with Georgia, we saw the utter failure of the Republican Party, their inability to keep a southern state, two states over from me, where the culture is no different. You know what I mean? It's no fucking different than it is here. Like, go blue. You know what I mean? And that's because Mitch didn't have our money, man. You know what I mean? And so, like, so they saw Republicans turn their back on them in their time of need. They said, you know, they got that first stimulus back in April or so, which was like $1,200 and that was the first real showing that, hey, man, the government can do something for me, even though, you know, it wasn't enough, but it was a start. Now we're getting $600 because the Republicans felt that was already too much. You know what I mean? And they control the Senate, so the legislation is filtered through them, no matter what the House tries to do. So they saw that the one thing that was in their way of getting the money that they desperately need was motherfucking Mitch McConnell, who was the leader of the Republican Senate. So Georgia said, no, fuck that, man. We're going to go the other way. And this is, dude, I'm telling you, like, Georgia is not any different from Mississippi. Like, they have Atlanta, which is a bigger city, which is true, a bigger city than anything we have in Mississippi, but the geographics, the demographics, it's almost the same, you know? And for that to turn blue is a miracle. You know what I mean? And Trump has been sabotaging the party, you know, on his way out with allegations of voter fraud. And you know, he was pushing for the $2,000 checks, you know, but Mitch McConnell didn't want the $2,000 checks. So there's a huge rift getting created in the Republican Party. And we're going to see it today, I think, when Mike Pence has to certify the election results. And he's already supposedly fucking, like, booked a trip out of the country for the next 2 weeks so that he doesn't have to be around Donald Trump. So I think he's just going to hang out overseas until Inauguration Day.
I think that's pretty funny.
So the short answer is yes, I think he's fracturing. Yeah, he's fracturing the party a bit.
Trump is kind of like his own virus. He just infiltrated, well, not infiltrated, but he hijacked the nervous system of, you know, the neocon republicanism of, like, George Bush, Ronald Reagan, those guys who at least were able to, you know, they're terrible people. Ronald Reagan, all of these guys, war criminals, they deserve to be tried in The Hague. They all did illegal, you know, stuff, but they were able to at least hold together a coalition that was functional and not delusional. And this is, you know, the thing about fascism. Fascism is unable to deal with reality. Donald Trump's ego is unable to deal with reality. And so he burned through the party in a way that I think maybe we'll see a third party, you know, develop, like, I don't know, a Trump party, and that'll split the Republican vote even more. But
I think that's what's going to happen, honestly.
Yeah.
But like, do you remember the Tea Party?
Yeah,
like, from, this was before.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's kind of like, that was kind of like the pre-alt-right, pre-Trump era before there was a name for it. You know what I mean? And these were, what do they call it? The true patriots, brother. We're the ones, you know, who want to preserve the Constitution. So, you know, fuck black people too, because, you know, they're supposed to be slaves. But that's what the Constitution says, brother. You know, it's like these type of people, you know?
Yeah, no.
And so, yeah, sorry, I know I get off on my voices here, but
dude. I think that maybe there'll be a third party. Who knows? It's good to see that the Democrats actually ran. I think people who weren't ghouls themselves, you know, Warnock, he's, I think, the kind of man who appeals a lot to, you know, he's a preacher. He's, he's like, really a community man. I don't, you know, I'm not a religious person necessarily myself, but or at least I'm not a Christian, but I can see why he has appeal. And Ossoff is like the kind of, he's like the perfect, like, liberal in a sense, you know, he's clean cut. He's well composed. He has like all the talking points. Maybe he's not as left as I'd like him to be, but nevertheless, you know, he's also a man who's very much committed to the whole thing. Like, these are the kinds of people that we need more of in the Democratic Party. We need more of the squad.
Oh, absolutely.
Now it's
we need more. But wait. He's radical liberal Raphael Warnock. No, I'm with you, man. I love saying that. It's just so fucking.
It's
funny.
Such a.
But it is, man. I showed my girlfriend a clip of like Kelly Loeffler saying that like for 30 seconds, like just back to back, and it was pretty great. But like he seems like a good dude. Oh, yeah. NPC. Yeah, that's a good term for it. And I'm with you, man. I'm pretty irreligious. I consider myself agnostic, but that being said, you know, I think like,
religion is big in the South, so we have to play the game.
Yeah, exactly. I'm open to everyone's beliefs as long as they're not harmful to people. You know, I have a very live and let live type of view of that. And I don't, there's a lot of good people that are Christians, even though they may be misguided on a lot of stuff, but I see conservatism as the problem more than religion myself, but that's just me. But
I've got an episode, I'm going to be doing an episode relatively soon on early Christian communism. There is a whole secret history that people don't realize about like Christianity, like Christians, like actual Jesus is the Lord Christians trying to do basically what we think of like a radical communist society, you know. Everyone is equal. We all share the land. Like I'm doing an episode about that. So, you know, look out for that. Maybe you can share that to some of the people, who are religious, and maybe they'll find that to be interesting. Because there is this whole, like, you know, rich man, it's easier for a camel to pass through an eye of the needle than a rich man to get into the kingdom of heaven kind of stuff that I feel is, you know, ignored in a lot of Christianity. But I think that's all the time that we have for today. Brandon, it was really nice having you on. I think America has a lot to do, but I think it can get done. Hopefully the Dems, now that they have power, now we can hold them accountable, because if they mess up, we can get at them. You know, if they make mistakes, we can, because they have power now. So it's up to them to actually do something with it. And it's up to us to make them do stuff with it. Thank you very much for coming on.
Exactly.
The Marks. Please, do you have anything to shout out?
Oh man, I mostly just wanted to say thank you for like having me on, man. It was freaking great. And I guess just as a last note, all I was going to say was I agree with you on the Christianity and communism relation. Just a quick side note is I grew up religious. I grew up Southern Baptist, and I've read the Bible like three times, man, cover to cover, and throughout my through growing up. And the philosophy of Jesus, I can tell you, more closely relates, not just more, but a hell of a lot more closely relates to socialism than it does to capitalism, 100%.
Yeah. So this has been Brandon.
Thank you so much for having me.
I will have a link to his YouTube channel in the video description. Check him out if you want current news, especially from a Southern perspective about what's going on in the U.S. I'm sure he'll make a video making fun of Perdue and Loeffler for losing Georgia.
Oh, that's coming.
that definitely has to come. I look forward to that one as well. Thank you, everyone, for listening to another Bite Mark special episode. Wear your mask, be safe, and good night, everyone.
Good night, guys, and take the vaccine if you get the chance.
Yeah, take it if you get the chance. Bye.
Peace out, Emilio. Thanks, guys.